Insurance professionals work hard every day to keep people safe. But as technology transforms the industry, how can insurers protect not only their clients, but also shield themselves from ever-changing cyber risks? My name's Elizabeth Blossfield, and I'm the host of the Insuring Cyber Podcast, a bi-monthly look into how the world of cyber and the business of insurance are connected. Don't believe everything you see online has become a widely used catchphrase since the early days of the internet, and especially social media. This phrase has become particularly relevant as something called deepfakes have continued to grow more widespread in pop culture. Deepfakes refer to media content, whether it's a video, a photo, or audio content, that appears realistic on its face, but the original content has actually been modified or falsified using artificial intelligence. Deepfakes have become more common in the entertainment industry in the past couple of years. The MIT Technology Review reports in a December article titled The Year Deepfakes Went Mainstream that in June 2020, an investigative film about the persecution of LGBTQ individuals in the Russian Republic became the first documentary to use deepfakes to protect its subjects' identities. It did this by asking LGBTQ activists from around the world for permission to use their faces, which were then embedded onto the faces of the activists featured in the film who were fighting persecution, in order to preserve their facial expressions while protecting their identities. The MIT Technology Review goes on to report that in October, a web television series called Sassy Justice debuted, becoming the first deepfake TV show. The show is a satire in which deepfake technology is used to introduce celebrities and politicians into the story of the main character, a local news reporter. Deepfakes have also become more common in internet meme culture. Despite their uses in entertainment, deepfakes can present risks. In a January report, the Brookings Institution's Artificial Intelligence and Emerging Technology Initiative stated that as the technology develops, it becomes more difficult to distinguish real audio and video recordings from their fraudulent counterparts, and deepfakes could be used in this way to potentially interfere with elections or national security and diminish trust in certain public figures or institutions. So what does this mean for insurance? Swiss Re's Sonar report last year, which detailed 14 emerging risks in 2020, says the industry's most affected business area from deepfake risks would be operations, including regulatory changes. For the insurance industry, the Sonar report says the consequences of deepfakes include greater loss potential from social engineering and identity infringement. It says insurance operations could also be affected through an increasing risk of claims fraud and social engineering attacks. Nikos Vekarides is the CEO and co-founder of software company Attestiv, which works to verify the authenticity of digital media and data to prevent fraud and risk. I recently spoke with Nikos to learn more about deepfakes, how to spot them, and where the challenges lie for insurers. Here's our conversation. Hi, Nikos. It's great to be speaking with you today. How are you doing?
Very good, Elizabeth. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, of course. So could you just start off by giving sort of an overview of what deepfake technology is and how it's used?
Sure. So deepfakes are AI-enhanced videos. They use a method called generative adversarial networks. And in short, they are very realistic but fake videos that can often fool detection software. So what's happening is they're getting better and better and harder to detect. And up until now, they've been a social media threat. So if you go on social media, you might see fake videos of politicians or actors. But along with other types of fake media, they now pose a pretty much a threat to any organization that relies on digital media to drive decision. Because when you're looking at a deepfake, it's very hard to discern what's fake from what's real.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of leads into my next question as well, because I know that fake media are becoming more prevalent and more sophisticated. So what's your advice for how to spot them and what things should businesses and individuals look out for?
Yeah, that's a good question, because over time, there's really not going to be any easy answer on how to spot them, because in fact, they are getting better and better. But ultimately, the the impact of deepfakes are that businesses that utilize digital media like videos will really be forced to put together technology solutions in order to help prevent them from falling prey to these. And what that also means is for individuals without these sophisticated tools, it's going to be very hard to discern reality from these fakes.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense. And then speaking about the insurance industry in particular, what are some of the biggest challenges that fake or altered media are creating for insurers?
Well, deepfakes are a moving target. And I mean, if we want to talk about the insurance industry, it's probably something that was viewed as sort of this novelty out on social media for a while. But as we look at particularly insurance, what we know about insurance is it's already plagued by fraud. So in the US alone, about $40 billion in property and casualty fraud. And with the events of the world like COVID, they've really forced a lot of insurers to move to self-service. And by self-service, that means when you file a claim, you, the insured, are the one who's taking the photos and providing the photos. So it creates this level of trust. And that means that there's a lot more exposure for insurance companies to this new form of media fraud, right? Are the photos or videos that I'm getting from my insured, are they real or not? We recently published an ebook on attestive.com. It's actually a free download that discusses this developing situation and the steps insurers can take to protect themselves.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and kind of going along with what you said, I know that reputation is important for any business, and some insurers provide coverage against reputational risk. Can you just talk about the reputational risks that deepfakes can create for businesses and the challenges for insurers who provide this kind of coverage?
Well, whether it's reputational coverage or cyber insurance, I think what deepfakes have done is they've really escalated the risks. So what's interesting here is that there are solutions out there that can help mitigate this situation. So I think insurance companies might be well positioned to help drive a solution by encouraging their customers and maybe even rewarding businesses for taking steps to mitigate their exposure to fake media and deepfakes. Think of it as sort of the equivalent of the safe driver credit for running a business. If you've put in place a solution that can help prevent or detect or mitigate the effect of deepfakes, you're really reducing your risk. So I think that's very important going forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. And as you touched on a little bit earlier, right now with COVID-19, there isn't much face-to-face interaction as a lot of workplaces have gone virtual. From your perspective, is the virtual work environment during this pandemic exacerbating some of these risks that we've talked about that are presented by deepfakes?
Yeah, absolutely. We see self-service appearing everywhere. We see virtual environments, all of the interactions. The majority of our interactions as a company are now online with these video conferencing calls. People are not being sent for things such as inspections. Medical visits are happening online. Oftentimes, photos are shared, and you want to make sure that these are authentic, or videos. Right, a lot of the diagnosis might be based on a video that you have with your doctor. So there's a lot more reliance on this digital media in this new virtual world that we're living in. And it's really very important that people can discern reality.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Awesome. Well, Nikos, it's been great to speak with you today. So thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Cyber analytics specialist CyberCube is warning that the use of deepfake video and audio technologies could become a major cyber threat to businesses and cyber insurers within the next 2 years. In its recent report titled Social Engineering: Blurring Reality and Fake, CyberCube says the ability to create realistic fake audio and video using artificial intelligence and machine learning has grown steadily, and that recent technological advances, as well as businesses' increased dependence on video-based communication, have only accelerated these developments. What's more, CyberCube says an increasing number of video and audio samples are now accessible online, partially due to the pandemic, giving cybercriminals a larger supply of data to build realistic simulations of individuals that can then be used to influence people. Additionally, the report discusses a technology known as mouth mapping that was created by the University of Washington, which can be used to simulate the movement of the human mouth during speech with extreme accuracy. The report's author, Darren Thompson, is CyberCube's head of cybersecurity strategy. He says that as the availability of personal information increases online, criminals are investing in technology to exploit this deepfake trend. I spoke with Darren about his report and some of the challenges he sees ahead because of deepfake technology. Here's what he had to say. Hi, Darren. It's great to be speaking with you. How are you doing today?
I'm very well indeed, Elizabeth. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. So I know that CyberCube issued a recent report stating that the use of deepfake video and audio technologies could become a major cyber threat to businesses within the next couple of years. Could you just talk about what you're seeing there?
Yeah, certainly. So I think it's important to recognize that what we say in the report is not necessarily that deepfake along with other socially engineered attack technologies will necessarily open up brand new attack categories. But what we are saying is that they're very likely to supercharge existing attack strategies. So we're all very well used to seeing phishing attacks and vishing attacks over the telephone, you know, business email compromise and ransomware are, you know, just huge topics already. What we're starting to see now is the introduction of new underlying technique, things like AI and machine learning leading to technologies like deepfake. And I think they're going to be applied to, in fact, we're already seeing some evidence that they are being applied to the attack types that I mentioned earlier, which is very likely to make those attacks more successful, more accurate, in some cases, you know, with more scale. And so that's definitely a dynamic that we think the insurance industry need to keep an eye on.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned artificial intelligence, and that's something that we've heard, you know, a lot about over the past few years. But how have you seen this AI technology being used for fake audio and video in particular grow and evolve since it emerged?
Yeah, it's interesting. So when we think about deepfake and synthesized voice, for example, as well as many other technologies, they tend to be sort of reliant on kind of what I think about as like a three-legged stool. So first and foremost, they need data. So to create a realistic fake video, you need lots and lots of video data that your machine learning algorithms can then use and manipulate. So data is the first ingredient, the first leg of the stool. The algorithms themselves are, you know, extremely important, and you know, typically they're not going to be perfect out of the box. They will get better over time. And then the last leg of the stool really is sort of compute power, so the ability to kind of scale up. And what we've seen really over the past 3 to 5 years or so is all three of those ingredients, if you like, really coming to maturity in a way that really suits something like deepfake. So if you think about the first of those legs, again, data. So, you know, where can I get video data from as a source material? Well, you know, the internet is social media. There's no shortage of video and photographs and speech available to us now because everybody's uploading pretty much everything they do. And that just creates a huge data source that we can rely on. Second leg of the stool, algorithms. Well, one thing that's happened in deepfake, for example, is it's become consumerized. So there are now iPhone applications out there, face swap and things like that. And whilst then those applications, you know, you wouldn't see applied probably in a cyber criminal context because they're not that realistic, those things are commoditized and consumers are scaling those up. So millions of people are using those technologies, which in itself is improving the algorithms that we can rely on to create deepfakes. And then when it comes to compute power, of course, we've just seen this explosion in cloud computing. And so whereas, you know, 10 years ago, perhaps I would have to deploy my own compute power to run the algorithms and create the deepfake or whatever I'm trying to do, now I can just burst that compute power into the cloud. And you know that's fairly cheap nowadays and enormously expandable, and so I have the third leg of the stool there. So we're in almost a perfect storm for these kinds of technologies to come to bear.
Right. Yeah. And one thing that I think is interesting about deepfakes are the mouth mapping technologies that are used. Can you talk about that, what it is and why it's important to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first dynamic to be aware of, and we see this over and over again, is mouth mapping as a technology was actually born out of the University of Washington. So it started out as a sort of an academic exercise to try and kind of separate a couple of the problems that the manufacturers of deepfake have. So it's, first of all, you know, can I create a realistic looking human that looks like somebody else that you would believe is real? That's one problem. The lips in particular, the sort of the syncing of the lips to what's being said, is a technical challenge in its own right. And so the academic team at the University of Washington applied all of their brain power to that specific problem, the lip syncing problem. And they created a detailed paper way back in 2017, actually, and they managed to create highly realistic video. The famous clip, actually, that they produced was of Barack Obama talking about various topics that he had never actually talked about. And I think that was a bit of a watershed moment for many because, you know, it took, you know, more than a couple of glances of that clip before anybody realized that wasn't Barack Obama speaking. And so that was a real, as I say, watershed moment and a turning point for deepfake. So there's an example of a technology born out of academia that unfortunately will inevitably be embraced by the criminal fraternity, and we see that a lot. And so that's just another step along the way of, you know, deepfaking becoming realistic enough to be used in sort of malicious attacks.
Yeah, sure. And CyberCube's report mentions that, you know, with regard to insurance in particular, insurers should consider the potential of deepfake technology to create large losses since, you know, it can be used in an attempt to destabilize a political system or a financial market. Can you talk about the challenges that this presents for insurers?
Yeah, I think our sort of advice to the insurance industry on this topic really is just to keep a close watching brief on what's going on here. Again, we don't think new attack categories are going to emerge. So insurers that are already worried about ransomware, for example, they should continue to be worried about ransomware and not take their eye off that ball, but realize that these emerging technologies powered by AI are again likely to supercharge ransomware and other attack types. So it's very, very important that the organizations, insurers, start to just understand the emerging threat and to track that. And also to start to talk to their insureds, you know, their customers and the insurance industry, questions about, you know, what's being stood up to defend from these types of things. You know, ultimately, there are a few things we can already do to protect ourselves against socially engineered attacks. And that involves, as we know, training staff to make sure they're security aware and, you know, are not very susceptible to phishing attempts and things of that nature. And actually, you know, this is always a cat and mouse game between the cyber defenders and the cyber attackers. Technologies are emerging now to detect deepfake, for example, and to apply, you know, again, clever algorithms to try to detect when a video is not real. So it's important that the insurance industry keep track of not just what the adversaries are doing, but also what the defenders are doing, and to be constantly in touch with their clients around, you know, what defenses are being stood up in a response, as it were, to these emerging attacks.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. Well, Darren, it's been great to speak with you. So thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem at all. Nice to speak to you.
That's all for this episode. Thanks to Nikos and Darren for taking the time to speak with me, and thanks to all of you for listening. Once again, my name's Elizabeth Blossfield, and I'm the host of the Insuring Cyber Podcast, a bi-monthly look into how the world of cyber and the business of insurance are connected. I hope you'll tune in next time.